I grew up playing football on the streets of Philadelphia. And I think it's fair to say that if you had seen me in those days, you would have known that I was going to become a rabbi. And so I can, with authority, report the following. There are three words that, as a kid playing football, you never want to be the one to hear. And those three words are, you go long. To those of you who don't play football, or who didn't as a kid, let me explain what you go long means. It means all these kids are the ones that I might actually throw to. You I don't want in the way, so run very far. But I don't want to just tell you I'm not going to throw to you, so instead I'm going to say something that in theory is actually good, but in practice gets you out of my way. That's what it means when you say you go long. But of course, when you then become an adult, if you play football, you go long turns from an insult into a compliment. Because the receiver that can run the fastest and has the best hands is the one that you're likely to be able to throw a long pass to. And so as we go along in life, we realize that the people who go fastest farthest, the people at the borders and the edges of experience, those people, they're important. This past week, we celebrated Bloom's Day. It may have escaped you. But every year on June 16th, there's worldwide, there are celebrations. In fact, today, there's one at the Hammer Museum, because that's the date on which James Joyce's novel Ulysses is based. It's the events of one day, June 16th, and Joyce was as acute an examiner of human consciousness and human psychology as has existed in literature. Joyce's daughter, Lucia, was a brilliant woman but was severely mentally ill. And Carl Jung, the great psychologist, treated Joyce's daughter. And one day, he said to Joyce, "You and your daughter both explore the very depths of human experience. The difference is you're diving and she's falling." But the people that dive, the people that run, the people that examine the boundaries of experience, whether because they're gifted or because life puts them there, we want to know what they have to say to us. Emerson said it. He said, "I love all who dive." And that's why the story that we read this morning is so important. You'll recall that the story is essentially that Moses sends 12 spies into the land of Israel because they're on the border and they want to know what sort of land are they coming into. And two of the spies, Yehoshua and Caleb, come and report back that in fact the land is wonderful and it will be great and we will take over the land and we will thrive there and everything will be good. But 10 spies come back and say, "It's hopeless. Everybody there is a giant. We're nothing to them." In fact, we say, it says, as was quoted by our bat mitzvah this morning, "We appeared to ourselves as grasshoppers, and so we must have appeared to them." And this is accounted a great sin on the part of the 10 spies. And the rabbis ask, what's the sin? Because presumably they told what they saw. They didn't lie. They didn't deceive. They in fact fulfilled the mission with which they were charged, which is go ahead of us, examine the border, be the person on the boundary, and bring us back news. Tell us what it's like. Almost like what the Greeks used to say about Plato, whatever road of life you walk down, you found him on the way back. So come back and tell us the news. And they did, and then they were punished. Why? The Kotzker Rebbe, in a beautiful interpretation, says, what was their sin? The sin wasn't saying we appeared to ourselves as grasshoppers. The sin was saying, and so we must have appeared to them. Because he said, what business is it of yours when you're on a mission, how you look to other people? If you know something is important and you're preoccupied about how you appear to others, you will never succeed. So Joshua and Caleb didn't care how they were seen. They only cared what they saw. The other tribes, the other 10, were preoccupied with how they looked. But I want to suggest a different way of understanding what happened with the spies. In order to understand this, you have to realize that the spies knew and the Israelites knew that there was no choice. They were going to go into the land. There was nowhere else to go. They couldn't stay in the desert and they couldn't go back to Egypt. So the question wasn't, should we enter the land or not, but what will happen when we do? And here is a human responsibility. When you know that you are suffering from something that everyone will suffer from, or you have an experience that everyone will have, but you're the advanced scout, what is your responsibility? Everyone will die. When you face that, do you have a responsibility to people who aren't there yet? I think you do. And the responsibility is to offer hope. After all, when you're at the edge of an experience that everyone will have, to turn around and give only despair is to drain life of a bit of its purpose and meaning. So I know a man who's 95 years old. He knows he's not going to live forever. And he remembers 70 years ago when he sat with his mother who was dying that she said to him, "Don't be afraid. This happens to everyone." And 75 years later, he still takes comfort from those words. Because that's part of the responsibility of everybody who faces something for which there is no choice. If there's a choice, it's different. Then you can say, this is terrible, avoid it. I don't know how many of you watch the Game of Thrones. I, of course, don't. I just heard about this. It's not like I saw it on HBO On Demand or anything like that. But I understand there was a scene in which a major character gave this speech about how his troops, he had like 50 troops, I've heard, in front of him. And he told them how they were going to go and they were going to die and the death was going to be glorious and so on. And after he finished his speech, another character came up behind him and conked him on the head. And he said, "Why didn't you do that before he finished his speech?" He goes, "Well, it was a nice speech. I wanted to let him finish." But the point was, he had no intention of sacrificing himself just because this guy was giving a noble speech. There was a choice. But when you fall ill, when you face death, when you are an advanced scout in life, and you turn back around and you see those who are watching you, or who are listening to you, and you have visited the land, and you're coming back to give the report, you must offer hope. You don't have to be unrealistic. You don't have to lie. But you have to have faith. This isn't empty and meaningless and hopeless and helpless. There's something here. They could have come back and said, "Look, we're scared. The idea of going into the land seems daunting and overwhelming, and we are terrified, but it is a beautiful land. We know that God intended us to be there. So even though we're scared, we want you to know that the land we saw that you have not yet seen, it's a glorious place. You don't have to say being sick is great. But you can say, as painful as the experience is, as difficult at moments and despairing at moments as you feel, it also deepens your soul, and suddenly you're surrounded by a community of people who care. You can be devastated by the fact that you face death. But you know that everybody else that you know will one day. So you can bring back the news from the borderland that these are the lessons that I feel as I face the end. These are the things that I've learned. These are the loves that appear to me crystalline and important and memorable at this moment. It's true that Father's Day is not a Jewish holiday, but tomorrow is Father's Day, and I trust that most of us will observe it in one way or another. In the Talmud in Kedushin, it says something about the fact that honoring a father who has died is in some ways greater than honoring a father who's alive. Because it says, when honoring a father who's alive, you might hope for some kind of recompense. I'll honor him, and then you never know. Maybe he'll pay for the brunch. But when you honor a father who's not there, it's done out of the pure appreciation for what you have received. It is a beautiful way of taking something from across the border and making it meaningful. I think that that is, I won't say that that was the sin of the spies, but it is one way of understanding the sin of the spies that puts our own lives in a different perspective. It's strange, you know. People who are sick sometimes feel powerless, but in fact, they become much more powerful teachers. Other people look to them because they visited the borderland, where sooner or later we will all be. And that was what the spies did, and what they didn't do. Everybody was going to be in the land, and they had the news to bring. One day, God willing, not for a long time, but one day, that will be true of all of us. We'll endure difficulties, disappointments, illnesses, and even face the end for ourselves, for those whom we love. Let's remember that that also imposes an obligation. That when in life you go long, you have to bring back hope. You have to promise purpose. You have to have faith. It doesn't make the difficulties go away. But it makes life, for those who listen, deeper, better, richer, and even truer. And that, after all, is what coming to the land was all about. Shabbat Shalom.